All right, good morning. It's good to be here. My name is Greg. It's Memorial Day weekend. I love Memorial Day. It's my second favorite holiday, right behind 4th of July. It's Memorial Day, signifies for me the beginning of summer. Can't wait for summer. I'd like to personally invite you to Saline tomorrow for our Memorial Day parade. It's at 10 a.m. You need to be there on time. It is the shortest parade in the history of parades. If you get there at 10:10, you are going to go out for breakfast and miss a parade. But we're friendly people down south. We welcome you. If you live in Milan, we're friendly people up north. Come on out. Love to have you. Summer, it's going to be great. Our discipleship programs are getting off the ground. The one in Ann Arbor starting soon. The one at Mackinac is starting. Chris Mann came all the way back to run sound for me today, so thank you, Chris, for leaving the island to do that. Love to have you praying for those programs. We're excited to see what God's going to do. So we're in the last couple weeks of our series on heroic living, and we've been talking about how there's not shortcuts to living a life of faith. If you want to have a life of impact, of significance, there's not cheat sheets to do it. We've talked about how living that kind of life is those small little decisions we make every day that add up. It's less about giant sweeping decisions and more about just those decisions you make on a daily basis. We've talked about how this can impact our lives as a whole, how it can impact how we interact with our kids, how it can affect our marriage and relationships, how it will affect our generosity with what the resources we have, time, talents, and finances. And today, we're going to talk about work. And we're going to take a look at what God's perspective for work is and what would it look like to approach our work from his perspective. Before I jump in, I want to pause and I want to ask God to speak to us today. And in the spirit of Memorial Day, I want to pause and just thank God for the men and women who gave their lives so that I can do this, right now. I'm going to teach to you from God's word publicly. It's going to be recorded, and I will not be arrested, at least for that, today. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the men and women who have sacrificed their lives and continue to sacrifice today for the freedoms that we have. Thank you for them. Pray for their families, God, as they grieve loss so that we can have freedom. God, I pray that today you will fill me with your spirit, that your words will be mine. I pray that we, as we look at your word, that you will challenge us, you will convict us. God, I pray that we will see a little bit different how you view work and how you want us to view work and how that can help us have an impact on the communities in which we live. In your name, amen. Work. I've had some pretty cool jobs in my life. I've had some pretty not so cool jobs in my life. Sometimes I feel like Mark Twain when he said this, "Work is a necessary evil to be avoided." Sometimes I feel like the funny man Seth Rogen when he says this, "I'm lazy, but for some reason I get so paranoid I end up working hard." Sometimes I feel like the American footballer, Tom Brady, when he says this, "I just love working." You can picture him say this, right? "I just love working hard. I love being part of a team. I love working toward a common goal." You know, work, it can be all of these, right? It can be every single one of them. Work, it's more than a necessary evil. It's more than just something that should be driven by our fears. And it's more than just getting stuff done. We're actually created to work. It's part of our design. You know, after God had created everything and he placed people in the garden, we see in Genesis chapter 2 that they had the privilege of tending over and watching the garden. And work, it's not a necessary evil because, you know, he's God. He had created everything from nothing. He could have created this entity to tend for itself, but he had a different way to do it. And work existed before sin entered the world and changed our relationship to work. So work, it's more than just merely a job. It's a calling. It's not a job. You know, the word calling, it's kind of interesting. You know, sometimes our career is called our vocation. And the Latin word for vocation is calling. And in the past, several years ago, when people talked about their vocation, it was something that they felt called to do by God to accomplish something. Work, it's more than a means to an end. It's something that we're designed to do. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, said this: a shoemaker making a shoe for the glory of God using his skill is just as holy as a pastor preaching a sermon. I love that illustration. Martin Luther, he used that illustration for a variety of trades throughout his teaching career. His point was, we have a calling. God made us. He made us and he gifted us each differently. Every single one of us. And when we work in that calling for God's glory, our work becomes a very spiritual activity. In fact, it's the definition of a spiritual activity. We're created to work. So how do we work in a way that God designed us to? You know, part of this path is seen a couple places in the New Testament, and one of those is in Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 22, it says this: slaves, obey your masters in everything you do, trying to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. So at the beginning there, Paul is addressing slaves. And there's a lot of theological debate on what is meant by that word. It goes a whole spectrum from slavery as an institution, as we understand it in our culture today, all the way to it actually means employees, as we understand it in our culture today. What I understand is slavery was an institution during Paul's day in the time that he's writing now. And they often worked in people's homes. Some of them had huge responsibilities in those homes. But what is clear is that at the very least, Paul is addressing people who aren't always treated fairly by their superiors. You know, it's interesting, the instructions that are given to these people who don't necessarily have the best work environments, they're told to please them. And I love the extra clarity there that he gives, that they're not, don't just please them when they're watching you. Don't just do it when the boss is around. I know people who have done that. I've been that guy who has done that. You may be that person. He goes on to say that even if you're in a poor working environment, we're told to serve those we work for. And we're told to do it sincerely, like not begrudgingly, but sincerely. And the fountain that comes from, the stream from which that comes from, is out of our reverent fear and love for God. Paul also tells them to do their work willingly, to work as if the boss is God and not a person. And Paul finally, he reminds them that they're not going to be forgotten in their plight. They might be forgotten in that particular situation, but they're not forgotten by him overall. These instructions, they're not just for the Colossians. You know, we need to be people to try to please those we work for, no matter who's noticing. We need to serve like wholeheartedly because it comes out of our deep love for God. And we're to work willingly, as if we're working directly for God. And Paul's reminder that we're not alone in our plight, it's not just for the Colossians, it's for us too. So how do we do this? How do we work willingly? How do we serve as if we're working for God? What does this look like? How do we even know that we're actually doing that? If we do that, there's going to be a couple characteristics that show up in our attitude, in our attitudes. Those characteristics that I think of are excellence and enthusiasm. First, if we're doing our work, not for a boss, but for God, we're going to strive to do it with excellence, like really good. It means we give it our best shot. We do the best we can because we're not doing it to please someone. We're doing our work for God. And it becomes so much more when we do that. That second characteristic that's going to mark our work when we're working for God is in how we do our work, like how we approach our work. When we want to have our work be done as if we're working for God, we're going to do it with enthusiasm and energy. We're working for God. Therefore, God's Spirit is going to flow out of us. And His Spirit, one of the fruits of His Spirit is joy. Our working attitude should be cheerful. Cheerful. I love how Romans 12 states this. It's pretty simple. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. When we're working as if we're working for God, we're going to work hard with enthusiasm and joy, even when we don't feel it. So what does working like this look like? Like, what are the practical ways it can play out? There are tons of different ways it could play out. And for our sake of time today, I'm going to highlight a couple. One way it's going to look is, I'm going to actually go back to the attitude I just talked about. It's going to be seen in how we approach our work and how people observe us while we're doing it. Enthusiasm, joy will mark it. And that does not exist in our culture very much. You know, the joy we can find in our work when we're working for God, it will be a spring from which enthusiasm flows. When I'm filled with God's Spirit and I have joy despite my circumstances, it gives me energy. It gives me enthusiasm. I get excited. And I'm not saying that every day on the job is going to be easy or enjoyable. In fact, I can tell you it's not going to be. Work isn't always fun. But as a teacher, an engineer, a nurse, raising our kids in our home, wherever God has placed us, we can show Christ in our work. And while we're doing that, joy is going to follow. Joy will follow. As people who want to be more like Jesus, we can find joy because it's a fruit of God's Spirit. And we're people who live with a purpose, right? We have a purpose beyond accomplishing things. And when we're operating in that, we have an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus wherever He takes us, wherever that may be. As people who work with true joy, our work environments can be transformed. Like I said earlier, I've had some interesting jobs in my life. One was made a whole lot better because of going in with a joyful attitude. I worked at Honey Baked Ham for two Christmas breaks in college, because I had to pay for most of my school, so anytime I wasn't in school, like, I worked hard, and you could get a lot of hours at Honey Baked Ham in a short period of time. It was not a glamorous gig. I worked 14 plus hours a day, every day for like 2 weeks straight, doing the same thing. I'd take a hunk of ham, I'd throw it on the spiral slicer, I'd slice it up, I'd take it off, and I'd hand it to somebody else who would do something else. That's all I did. By the end of the day, the place would be full of ham, like everywhere. I don't know how it happened. It was disgusting. I would go home, and my parents would make me leave my clothes outside because I smelled like ham. The dogs would follow me home. I liked that job. I liked it. I had fun there. I met some interesting people. The dude next to me, The only people that worked there were people who were in college on break and people who had just got out of prison. And the guy that was next to me had just got out of prison for attempted murder. And we were co-workers. It was awesome. I learned a ton. I had fun. I went into that job and I said, I'm gonna have joy here. I do not eat honey-baked ham anymore. I'm not saying you shouldn't, though. It was delicious at a time. I just had enough. I've seen behind the curtain, people. Joy. Another characteristic of our work that is done if we're working for God is in how we relate to the people we're around. When we're working for God, we're going to look for ways to serve our coworkers. We're going to look for ways to get to know them. You know, God wants his love to go to every single corner of our world. And when we work for God as if he's our boss, we are going to be the people who build real relationships, and we're going to look for ways to serve those around us. As we build relationships and look for ways to serve, we're going to be showing God's love. And we're going to be showing God's love in those corners of the world that he longs for for people to know how deeply he loves them. Those corners of Ford, at U of M, in our schools, at Toyota, and throughout our entire communities. We show God's love by practicing what Paul talked about in the book of Galatians. He says this: don't pass up an opportunity to do good to anyone. Don't pass it up. As we go about our life at work, there's going to be opportunities to do good. There's going to be opportunities to represent Christ. And that is what working for God instead of a person helps us be more aware of. Both of these practices that I mentioned, they are in stark contrast to the prevailing work environments that most of us find ourselves in. You know, as people who seek to be more like Jesus, let's be people who work with joy. Let's be people who work with a heart to serve, because we're working for God and not people. When we change who we're working for, who we're working to please, there's going to be fruit. And one of the fruits we see is in those relationships that we build by taking those opportunities to do good. The opportunities that God has called us to do good in. Because of the relationships, work becomes much more than just a place to earn money. Money so that we can pay bills so that we can live. Work becomes much more than a means to an end. The fruit of the relationships that come from working this way are a huge gift. They're a huge gift. In the various jobs I've had, I've met some amazing people who have taught me a lot. People who have shared amazing stories. Relationships, they make work a lot of fun. Another fruit from working God's way is the opportunity to represent God in very unique places. You know, as people who follow Jesus, we're called to tell people how they can have a relationship with God. And we spend a lot of our lives working. And I believe that God strategically puts us in our jobs to interact with the people that he wants us to influence for him. People he wants to deeply know how much he loves them, and people who desperately need to know how they can be made right with God. It's extremely strategic what he does through us and where he places us. Working for God and not people, it's going to provide opportunities for us to share the gospel, like the good news. The good news that because of Jesus and his sacrifice of dying and then raising from the dead, people like me, with all my flaws, can have a relationship with God. That is amazing news. And we can share that with those we work with our deeds, by working with passion, enthusiasm, and excellence, and opportunities with our words when they come. Living the gospel in front of our colleagues goes hand in hand with building relationships and serving people. Like they work together perfectly. The fruit from working God's ways allows us work to be so much more than making money to live. It becomes that we can the way we can actually live out the way he designed us to live in the first place. When we're working with all our heart, motivated by the love of Christ, our work is transformed, and it's transformed into an act of worship. Everything we do is an act of worship. We're giving back to God. When you're working that way, we're living the way that God created us to. He created us. We're here to bring him glory, to reflect back his glory to those around us. And the fruit from working for God and not people allows us to do just that. It's amazing, right? Like, it's amazing. When I sit in that and I think about it, we get to make money. We get to provide for our needs. And we get some satisfaction, all at the same time bringing God glory. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, all this sounds good. It's good. And some of us hear it and say, I like that. I'm going to do that. I'm going to change my attitude. It's going to be awesome. And some of us think, well, Greg, that sounds ideal, and you don't know my boss. Some of the people I manage probably say that. You don't know my working environment. And working that way, the ideal way that you just described, is not as easy as it sounds. You know, it's way easier to apply these things in a context where our boss is fair. It's a whole different story when our working environments are not a pleasant experience. As I close, I just want to leave us with a few practicals, no matter where we are at on that spectrum I just named. You know, the beautiful thing about being a person who is joyful is joy doesn't depend at all on our circumstances or our environments. Joy, it's a fruit of being filled with God's Spirit. And we can actually ask God to fill us with the Spirit. Like, we can ask him for it. So one of the practicals that I have is we're preparing to go to work this week. Now, we get a little short week this week, a lot of us, so it's easier to apply this little test we're going to do. But let's be people who ask God in the morning, on our drive, God, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit today, and have joy be something that is visible for all to see. Let's try it. Let's try it for a week and see what happens. Let's see what happens. Another practical is to ask God to help us see how and where we can best represent Christ in our work. How can we represent him in how we build relationships and how we serve and the attitude we bring to our work and the energy and enthusiasm that we can bring to our work? A final one is this, is to adjust how we view our work, to make a shift and view whatever God has given us to do as an act of worship back to him. What we do is spiritual. What we put our hands to is spiritual. We can do this by believing that our work is spiritual. Like, to take those words that I just said and actually believe them. When we're working for God and not people, our work becomes a very holy thing. Work. It's more than a necessary evil. It's part of what we are designed to do. We're created for it. We're created for it. As I close, I'm going to ask God to help us move towards being able to see our work as more than just something that we do to make money, to something that we actually do to bring him glory. Let me pray. God, I thank you that what we labor and do is exactly how you designed us to function, so that we can bring you glory and influence our world and take your gospel, the message that you gave and through what Jesus did, to the entire world. God, I pray that you'll be with us wherever we at are on that spectrum. I'll pray that as we seek you and ask you to fill us with your spirit, that joy will overflow. And I pray that you will give us eyes to see the people that you want us to influence, that you have brought into our lives in our workplaces. In your name, amen.